Nobody's Fool is a Tyler Perry movie, but maybe more important at the moment, it's a Tiffany Haddish movie. Haddish and Tika Sumpter star in a story of two sisters.
Haddish plays Tanya, who gets out of prison only to find that her sister Danica has a new boyfriend. But it's an online relationship, and Tanya fears that Danica is being catfished. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. Today we're talking about Nobody's Fool, so come right back.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Wix.com, a web platform for creating your own professional website. With Wix, whether it's your first time creating a website or you're a longtime pro, you can do it yourself. Choose from hundreds of stunning templates or start from scratch with drag-and-drop technology and powerful web features. Join over 125 million people already using Wix to create their own websites. Go to Wix.com to create yours today. So what will you create?
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. With us today are our friends, Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings, hosts of the podcast The Nod. Hi, you guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Now, I just want to say, Brittany and Eric specifically were interested in talking about this movie. I think this is the first Tyler Perry movie that we have done on the show, which is rather shocking.
Right. It's a shame.
It is a shame. Eric, tell me what it was about this movie that you guys thought would be interesting to talk about.
Well, there are a few things. And one, I just want to note how excited we were. There were many exclamation points in the email that we sent to you. But people like to give Tyler Perry a hard time. Deserved, you know? If you're looking for an auteur, I don't know that he qualifies. That said, his movies are fun.
So fun.
They're really, really fun. They're going to make you mad at points. You're going to be like, I wish you wouldn't have done that. I wish you would have actually, like, thought about this plot. But he's also going to give you so many excuses to just sit there and laugh and just, like, have a bit of escapist fun and just be like, oh, this makes no sense. But I enjoyed it.
How did you feel like Nobody's Fool fit into that expectation?
I would say my expectations were a little higher because I think Tiffany Haddish coming into,
raises
the stakes.
I see.
I was really, really excited because I think Tyler Perry, he's actually pretty good for writing, like, punchy jokes.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to give you a few things that are going to, like, legitimately just make you gut laugh. And Tiffany Haddish, like, that's her lane. She's going to have you falling out of your chair laughing. So I was really, really excited for this film in particular. I also really like Tika Sumpter, Omari Hardwick, all the things. Whoopi, you know, in a horrible wig.
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was horrible.
horrible wig, but great role for her, I thought.
Yes. Yeah. The trend of Tyler Perry not making a great film, but making an enjoyable one, I think holds up in this particular case. I enjoyed it a lot. I had a lot of issues with it, though.
How about you, Brittany? What'd you think?
I think my expectations were also similarly higher because of Tiffany Haddish and also Tika Sumpter, who, like, I adore. And overall, okay, I'm trying to think how to put it. It's not my favorite Tyler Perry film. I think for me, there were a lot of moments that I really, really, really enjoyed. Something I think that Tyler Perry does really well is he creates these really ridiculous but easy to get into, like, situations and just puts his characters in them and lets them have these big scenes where they can play and, like, just punch a joke up and just, like, beat it to death. Like, Whoopi Goldberg, I wish would have been in the movie more.
Yeah.
She and Tiffany Haddish together.
Yes.
There was one scene in particular where she was talking to Tiffany Haddish through the window.
Yeah.
I was dying.
And I was like, I would have loved to have, like, three of these that were 6 minutes long. I just feel like I didn't know which plot we were going to go for. Maybe he's trying to get complex.
He's experimenting.
He could be experimenting. We don't know. I did have one note, actually. The very first note that I wrote down when I was sitting there watching the movie was, everyone in this movie is so pretty.
It's true.
It's like, oh.
That's,
like,
really true.
So beautiful.
Stephen Thompson, what did you think of Nobody's Fool?
Oh, it is such a mess. This movie is such a mess. Okay, so you have all these great ingredients, right? We've listed all these really likable actors.
And we didn't even talk about Amber Riley who's in it, who I think is great and who I haven't seen enough since Glee. Omari Hardwick, who we mentioned.
Fine.
You have these interesting, discrete pieces, all of which are misused.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the kind of central plot of the story is that the Tika Sumpter character is potentially being catfished. And that kind of ends up evolving, shockingly, into a romance. That romance ends up taking up so much oxygen in this movie as the Tiffany Haddish subplot just disappears.
It just drops out
for a really long stretch of this movie.
Yeah.
And with it, all that bonkers energy that Tiffany Haddish brings.
Yeah.
So you have all the energy kind of being sucked out. At the same time, I also think it misuses Tiffany Haddish in a number of ways by simply kind of turning her loose, not with necessarily any kind of character arc.
Yeah.
She's just there to be loud. She's just there to be vulgar. She's just there to just inject all this energy. But Tyler Perry seems to have no idea what to do with this character. The character doesn't evolve in any kind of interesting way. All that the movie ultimately cares about is what becomes of this relationship, which itself, to me, has its things that are not satisfying about it.
Yeah, I'm interested because Brittany and Eric have seen more Tyler Perry movies than I have, it sounds like. And I'm interested in whether this is a Tyler Perry thing. Underneath this comedy, or what's been promoted as a comedy, is this kind of earnest romantic drama that ultimately is about this successful career
Come
woman.
Come on, ladies, settle.
Doesn't
settle, ladies. That's what this movie is
doesn't
saying.
Doesn't appreciate a simple good man. And there's a moment where, like, he sort of lectures her about, like, if you don't appreciate a simple good man, then... And she winds up treating him so badly in
certain cases
that by the end I was like, don't go back with her.
I would have been like, go back with me.
She's been terrible to you. I didn't find the romance as uninteresting as Stephen did. I think Omari Hardwick is really, really charismatic.
Again, these are great.
I love him.
These are great ingredients being misused.
And
I think he's great.
I think that story could have been interesting. I don't think they necessarily have a ton of chemistry, I have to say, but that may be partly the writing. But I got bogged down in the her being corrected about how to feel about men.
Well, you maybe shouldn't see too many more Tyler Perry.
That tracks. I was going to say, now that tracks with the rest of the catalog.
Yeah, his base plot line is often kind of like the quote-unquote like shrew archetype, kind of falling in love and not realizing that she should be falling in love with the kind of like blue-collar man
like
of her dreams.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, like that's been right underneath her nose
with
the whole time.
With a six-pack, super hot, like a super hot UPS guy.
Yeah.
This is sort of like, how did she not notice the man with abs?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? If Omari Hardwick was giving me coffee every day, everyone in my phone would hear about it. Every single day.
But I mean, also like that entire coffee shop would be full of women pressed up against the counter.
Everybody needs a job. Everybody wants a job.
It's true.
But one thing I will add about that plot line in this movie, like I was kind of ready for that. I'm not even going to lie because it's such a consistent part of his movies. He usually has like, this is my one moral message and like I'm going to go super hard on that and you are going to get it by the end. The way he did that in this particular movie kind of unsettled me a little bit. A lot of the ways they talked about kind of addiction and and how you should exist in a relationship with someone who, you know, has wrestled with addiction really kind of rubbed me the wrong way at parts. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that this is a good guy and you should be with him. It was this is a good guy, you should be with him. He used to be an addict.
Exactly.
And if you're not, he might fall off the wagon.
I thought that was so ridiculous.
A weird moment.
Yeah.
There's the moment where the Tiffany Haddish character, Tanya, who has come to really like the guy, he is someone who has had addictions. And the Tiffany Haddish character straight out says, if you break his heart, it'll send him back to using. And I was like, whoa.
I was like, you can't put that on her. That's not fair. Also, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. And she did enough horrible things in the movie.
Already at that point.
to him, like this one additional thing would not have been the thing.
I feel like this is the thing. Tyler Perry is omnipresent. I don't really like this word too much, but the definition, I think he's a perfect case study of the term problematic. Problematic fave, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, though, is that, like, Tyler Perry also has a lot of cultural cachet, and so when I love when he cashes that in, I was like, yes, you really got Max and Neve. You really got Catfish.
Mm-hmm.
They're in multiple scenes. I was so ready for that to be the whole protracted, like, crazy adventure caper. You know, and then they ended up, obviously, doing the love story, and that was okay. I mean, there were a lot of hot people involved. That was compelling for me.
Yeah.
I felt like it was going to be this, like, sort of, like, sisters getting together and just sort of, like, you know, reconnecting after one of them had been incarcerated for 5 years. So I was looking forward to them sort of, like, piecing this mystery together with Max and Neve of who Danica's mystery boyfriend actually was. I was, like, prepared. I was like, yes, we're going to have Amber Riley. We're going to have Tika Sumpter. We're going to have Tiffany Haddish and Whoopi Goldberg with Max and Neve figuring out the mystery. I was like, Tyler Perry is going to have peaked. I understand why he's killing off Madea because I was like, he is about to smash.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody's fool.
I was really psyched when it turned out that the catfish story was actually going to involve catfish.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing about Max and Niamh, and I loved the fact that Max and Niamh were actually in the movie, because my favorite thing about them is that Max is self-aware and Niamh is not. Yes. And so when you bring them in, like, Max is making fun of himself and making fun of catfish, and Niamh thinks he's cool because that's how catfish is. But like Brittany, I was really bummed when that part of it kind of petered out. They follow that for a while, and then there's a cameo that I think we're not supposed to give away. And it was okay. Like, it's an okay scene. I didn't think it was a hilariously amazing scene.
No, but I could talk about it.
So what would you say about it without revealing the cameo? What would you say about it?
Well, it was just a wasted opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As soon as the cameo was revealed, I was psyched. I was there. I was present. But then as it started to actually roll on, it was like, man, I wish you guys would have just done a few more takes of this and just kind of let the just do what you feel. And I think it would have probably been 10 times better. I had a lot of issues with it.
I mean, it is a movie about catfishing that is built around a fundamental bait and switch in the plot, which is kind of appropriate.
No, it's true. Stephen talked a little bit about Tiffany Haddish being misused or underused here. And the thing, I agree with him, like the Tiffany Haddish roles that I've loved the most, which of course I am not a gourmet in this way. Like, I love Tiffany Haddish in Girls Trip. Yeah. You know, when I have really loved her the most, there is a fierce intelligence and a warmth to her, even when she's being extremely silly. And she is one of those people, you know, we talked about Big Mouth. We talked about Maya Rudolph. And the fact that she puts just a ton of, as Mike Schur has said about The Good Place, a ton of mustard on every single thing she says. And Tiffany Haddish can be the same way. I think with anybody else in that role, it would seem totally unnecessary. But I think her delivery and her sense of comedy and her ability to kind of throw herself fully at this role makes it seem worthwhile. But to me, did that character exist in the original version of this story, or is that a character that kind of came to life to add an element of silly comedy that otherwise wouldn't be there? Is that a common Tyler Perry thing for there to be an underlying kind of serious dramatic story and then a kind of an externally added comedic force?
It's weird. This is a different type of Tyler Perry movie, just slightly though. Like, I think the issue is kind of going back to, I think, something Brittany was touching on. It seemed like he was trying at something new, but not sure which pieces of those movies he still wants to keep. In the Madea films, there's often, Madea is kind of the Tiffany Haddish character that comes in like bits and is like really the comedic relief.
Right.
And the majority of the story is usually like a drama. Like,
yeah.
But his films outside of the Madea franchise are usually a lot more straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And in this film, it seemed like, honestly, he just probably ran into Tiffany Haddish backstage and was like, they had great chemistry. He was like, you know, I got something I think you could really be good for.
And then there it is.
And he, you know, maybe took another month with the script to write her in.
Took another day and a half.
Yeah. Like, generous.
But, you know, and then we get Nobody's Fool. And that's really a shame because going back to the plot, like Brittany described, where Tiffany Haddish, you know, gets out of jail and her sister team up to realize that they're both a little out of touch and they can bring themselves together by taking down this man who catfished her is a great film that I would be excited to watch.
The movie that the trailers promised, I was really, really excited about.
I couldn't tell watching this movie whether I was glad that they had a really light touch with this little thing about whether her name is supposed to be Danica.
Oh, my God. I felt like that was such a character tell and I wanted more.
The idea is she goes by Danica and her sister keeps telling her mom named you Danica. Like, there's a whole thing going on there.
Right.
The issue is that Tyler Perry, especially in this film, he prioritized the romantic relationship in spite of the character development. So Tika Sumter's character, Tiffany Haddish's character, they didn't have whole arcs.
No.
So once the actual romantic plot kind of came to its natural conclusion, you got to wrap up the movie because you already spent almost 2 hours.
Exactly.
So it really bummed me out. And going back to that in particular, it was something that they didn't actually really even wrestle with her character throughout the earlier parts of the film.
No.
That was like the only thing. You know, did she used to be a little more hood? Like, you know,
like
what is the evolution that got her to this point where, you know, she's kind of this like stuffy ad exec? Where does she go? Is Tiffany being back in her life, make things better? We don't know. We'll never know.
I know. And I think that if they had focused on that relationship, it would have been a much more relatable movie. I think that like a lot of people can identify with class differences within their family. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can identify with remaking who you are or making yourself up in a completely different fashion to get a certain place in life. And a lot of people can identify with having a family member who's incarcerated, yeah. being gone for a while, and then coming back in, them sort of like getting back into society on the outside, and then also like their family sort of maybe seeing where they all stand in relation to each other. I think that could have been such a like really relatable relationship to explore, a dynamic to explore, and I felt like that was kind of a missed opportunity.
I was interested in the family, and then it just didn't quite get fully played out that way.
Like, why? I'm like, how do you have Whoopi Goldberg, mm-hmm. Tika Sumpter, and Tiffany Haddish, and just not want to sit with them?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Think that's maybe the movie that we all would have loved the most. Yeah.
Do you also feel that this movie didn't know what to do with its R rating?
Yes.
I thought it was so weird. Like, first of all, it gives them a chance to let Tiffany Haddish, you know,
swear more.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Dirtier.
But it also meant dropping in this weird, awkward sex scene.
It was extended, but I went to go see this in a theater. I was telling Brittany before we started talking, the Auntie set was out in full force.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hear anything for like 5 minutes.
You were on Friday night.
After that scene.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. It wasn't meant for me, but the people who it was meant for saw it.
I think that's right. I think that's right. I had the same sense in the theater that I was in. It wasn't as full, but I had the same sense that there was an audience for that scene, to say the least. Well, I am guessing that many of you will wind up seeing Nobody's Fool or have other thoughts about Tyler Perry, and I would love to hear from you. Come and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow Brittany Luce at BM Luce. You can follow Eric Eddings at E Eddings, and you can listen to their show, The Nod, which is made by Gimlet Media. Thank you so much, you guys, for being here. This was so much fun.
Thank you. It's
my
always
pleasure.
Fun.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Stephen, and thanks to all of you guys for listening. We will be back here on Friday. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. That'll help more folks to find the show. We will see you all right back here on Friday.
More than 20 years. That's how long Olympic gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar abused the girls and women who came to see him for treatment. Believed, a new podcast from Michigan Radio and NPR, digs into how he got away with it for so long.